Paramahamsa Pribrojaka Sariyasta Tadasata Shishimad His Divine Grishle Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Anatomi Vaishnava Indiki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Gaur Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Hari Gaur Bhakti Vrindaki Shishi Radha Krishna Go Gopa Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kundita Giri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Thama Ki Shri Mayapur Thama Ki Ganga Maya Ki Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Samavita Bhakti Vrindaki Jainita Gaur Premanati All glories to the Samadhotis. All glories to the Samadhotis. All glories to the Samadhotis. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 4.
This is the Asia.
2, 4. Samhurtam abhut tushnin krishnangri shudhaya visham tivrena bhakti yogena nigama nimagna sadhu nirvrita. For a moment he remained dead silent. And his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy. And he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. On the inquiry by Vidura about Krishna, Uddhava appeared to be awakened from slumber. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he again remembered the lotus feet of the Lord. And remembered all his transcendental loving service unto him. And by so doing, he felt the same ecstasy that he used to feel in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is absolute, and there is no difference between his remembrance and his personal presence. Thus Uddhava remained completely silent for a moment. But then he appeared to be remaining, going deeper and deeper into ecstasy. Feelings of ecstasy are displayed by highly advanced devotees of the Lord. There are 8 kinds of transcendental changes in the body. Tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, restlessness, throbbing, choking of the throat, etc. And all were manifested by Uddhava in the presence of Vidura. So Vidura has asked Uddhava about Lord Krishna. Did I say Vidura asked Uddhava, or Uddhava asked?
You did say Uddhava.
Okay. So then, Uddhava now is remembering the Lord. So this remembrance of the Lord is not different from the Lord. This is the special thing about Krishna consciousness. At remembering the Lord, the Lord and His remembrance are not different. Many times we are feeling, oh, you know, we're here so far from the Lord, so far from all these things. But actually that remembrance, that is what brings us close to the Lord. So chanting the Lord's name, remembering the Lord, describing about the Lord, these are all bring us in contact with the Lord. So this is the, you know, essential process in Krishna consciousness. That we hear and chant about the Lord's glories. And that brings us actually in contact with the Lord. So many times people will say, can you show me God? Or they want to know how we can see God. But actually, that is quite easy. We just chant and hear the Lord's glories. Quite easy. The difficulty is not seeing the Lord. Means that we think, you know, our idea is how to bring God here. So when we chant the Lord's name, glories, Krishna is present. So the difficulty is not from God's side. Difficulty is from our side. Right? That we, even though God is there, we don't see God. We are so absorbed in our own thoughts and interests that even though God is present, we don't see. Right? So He's there in His name, His form, His qualities, His pastimes. So the important thing is us becoming purified. Without purification, then we cannot see the Lord. We cannot appreciate the Lord's presence. Though the Lord is present, we are not able to understand. So we see that how did Uddhava get to this position? He came to this position because of his previous service. He always used to absorb himself in serving the Lord and hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord. So in this way, then, he always had the Lord's association. So he absorbed himself in this way, and then with time, by that association, then one is able to see the Lord. So that same perfection that Uddhava had is available for everyone. Some may say, well, he's one of the Lord's eternal associates, so naturally, therefore, he sees the Lord. But everybody is naturally the Lord's eternal associate. But we just have to accept that position and act within that position. But it's not an artificial position, it's natural. So by performing the devotional process, we will come to that standard. Difficulty is because of our impurities, we're unable to see. So when we say natural, it does not, we have to distinguish that between artificial. It is natural for us to be the Lord's servant. So we must also follow the natural process to attain that position. We are contaminated, so we have to remove this contamination. Nowadays, the, how to say, emotional expression is given great value. What we want, this is most important. Right? If somebody wants something and they endeavor for it, it's considered to be quite glorious. And of course, we only hear the stories about those who have obtained what they wanted. So because they had that determination and knew what they want, this is considered special. Most people don't know what they want. Nor are they inspired to endeavor. So the mode of ignorance is very strong. So that if someone came up to the standard of the mode of passion and endeavored, then people write books about it. So it's considered this motive, this desire for something, which is the mode of ignorance, this, and this endeavor for it, these are considered very glorious. This is distinguished from the mode of ignorance, where someone is so ignorant he doesn't know what to do, and therefore there is no endeavor.
And
So simply that they desired and they did something that was spontaneous in connection with that desire, then everybody feels that it's very laudable. Laudable good. So we see this is not a new thing. Right? The sahajiyas also work on this principle. They feel we want this. We want advanced devotional service. So then they engage in what they think is advanced devotional service. Right? Uddhava is crying and rolling on the ground. So this is a symptom of advanced devotional service. So advanced devotional service is very easy. Right? You put some chilies up your nose. Right? Crying will be very serious. And then you roll on the ground. You show all kinds of emotional ecstasies. And then you are happy because you're advanced. One may doubt that one would get some happiness from this. But why are there actors in this world? Why are there actors? Right? Everybody likes a good drama. So the actors themselves feel happiness doing the drama. And others become happy watching it. Right? And everybody thinks, yes, this is some very substantial, you know, experience. So like this, then the sahajas and others, then they all perform their little, you know, ecstatic emotional dramas, and everybody is happy. But it's not natural, it's artificial. Means the transcendental ecstasy is not a drama or a show. It springs from the platform of the soul, not from the mind. So, and that happens when one is purified and one is on the platform of soul. So then the natural thing is to purify oneself, to come to this transcendental position. And at the same time, that one associates with the Lord through hearing and chanting. Even if we don't find a taste, even if we find we're chanting and there's no taste, but still, that chanting is the Lord. So then one must always associate with the Lord and try to remember the Lord and follow the regulative principles which will then free us from this material contamination. Then the position that Uddhava is manifesting, then it is open for everyone. So the desire must be there to obtain the position. But the means is intelligence. Yeah? Sahaja is used the means of the mind. Through their so-called emotion, they will come to the transcendental platform. But Krishna Gita recommends through the use or application of intelligence, we will get to that platform. Right? Our endeavor is based on intelligence. Then we will properly perform the devotional activities. Then we will purify yourself and come to that transcendental. At the same time, one must spend time to hear and chant and read about Krishna. Right? Because becoming pure is not enough. One must actually develop one's attraction and attachment for Krishna. Then the result comes. So this combination of purification based on intelligence and cultivating attraction for Krishna must go on simultaneously. So the impersonalists, they cultivate purity, but they do not cultivate attraction for Krishna. And the sahajas, they cultivate attraction to Krishna, but not the process of purity. So the actual path given by the acharyas is in the middle. It is a combination of both. Then one will be successful. Any questions on this? Yes.
Sometimes it's said that we should control our senses with our intelligence.
Sometimes it's said we control the intelligence, I mean the senses with the intelligence, and sometimes it's said that we engage the intelligence in the Lord's service. So these two ways of purification are recommended. There's also the aspect of by tasting a higher taste, one gives up the lower. There's another aspect is giving up a lower taste by tasting a higher taste. So all of these are correct. But the process starts with intelligence. We don't have a taste for transcendental subject. Right? Interest is there, we want to know. Right? We're inquisitive. So that's intelligence. Then we hear about so many things. Right, the glories of the Lord and the devotional process. And then through the intelligence, then we decide this is good, we should do this. Then we make the endeavor. So to make the endeavor, we have to control the senses. Right? Then when the senses are controlled, then we can engage in the Lord's service. Then that will give us a taste, then it will make it easier to control the senses. And we will be more inspired to make that endeavor. So it's an ever like increasing cycle. Then when the senses are completely purified, there's no need to control them by intelligence. Then one is simply doing because of the taste. That's why both the control of the senses and engaging the senses and cultivation of taste must be done simultaneously. Otherwise, one will come to the Brahma Buddha platform, but one will get stopped there because of no taste or attraction for Krishna. And if one doesn't control the senses and engage the senses with the intelligence, one will never come to that transcendental platform. So it's important that both have to be done. Therefore, our process is chanting, dancing, and taking prasad. But due to the senses not being pure, we're not fully satisfied with this. Therefore, so many other activities are then added to engage the senses so that they become purified. Sometimes it's said, well, our process is chanting, dancing, taking prasad. Why I have to clean the floor and go out on sankirtan and do all these other things? Because we can't do that all the time. Right? Lord Nityananda would sometimes start a kirtan and they would go for days. Right? But we don't find that we're able to do that. Right? So therefore, then these other engagements keep us busy. So we have to simultaneously control and engage the senses. And at the same time, you know, chant and hear and read and study and discuss about Krishna. Yes. this idea?
Because there appears to be two good things, is the purity of the Maya bodies and the Krishna consciousness. This is how it is.
Oh, means how is it they've got something good?
And how, because we may be bewildered by that goodness, so we may be attracted by it.
The way somehow we divide it into two.
Oh, why do I divide it into two? Oh, just remembering, or just purity?
No, just doing something which may not just play.
Just doing the one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, if you have a yoga niche, but maybe you can come to some level of nutrition, the raspberry and the garlic.
Okay, so let us say we'd like to eat a potato. So that's a nice thing. Right? So we just go to the market, pick up the potato. And eat it. We don't bother washing it or peeling it or cooking it or... Right? Because the eating part is the essence. Right? Isn't it? But until it's been purified and properly prepared, there is no taste in eating. So one may think that, well, you know, okay, I don't care. Like, you take a potato and throw it on the ground and a pig will eat it, and they don't worry about this. They like it very much. Right? In fact, if it's kind of like old and stale and stinky, it's even better. But here is one of the major mistakes of these sahaja. They're still trying to be the enjoyer. Our enjoyment comes when Krishna is happy. Right? So Krishna, even though we may not mind eating a stinky old potato, Krishna would rather have it washed, peeled, and cut and cooked. So the point is they're taking different parts of the devotional path. But it's not complete. Right? Like you have a meal, there's so many preparations. We'll try this example, whether it will work. Can you call just eating a bunch of pakoras and chutney a meal? This is why I said, we'll try it. You say, yeah, it's great. No, that's... Right? That's called a snack. Snack means just a... I don't know. Yeah, it's just some little thing that you just pick up. And it's not a meal. It's just you get something. Right? It's not a meal. Or if you just get some sweets and just eat only that and nothing else, it's even better. Still, you can't call it a meal. Right? That you can call, you know, just... It's just also... a snack, but it's on sweets. So the meal contains more than all that. Right. So gentlemen eat meals. Kids eat snacks.
Yes,
there is some effect, but you try just eating sweets every day, all day, and then see what happens. Yes. We can tell Mataji here, just put sugar in everything, make everything sweet. And everyone will get, because it's not balanced. Right. So the point is Krishna likes it in a particular way. So the process that sahajiyas use is taken from the normal devotional process. But it's not complete because it's done without purity. And the Mayavadis, then they are following the process of purity, but they don't know about transcendental taste. So one has to follow both, because this is Krishna's direction. Just desiring is not enough. One must engage oneself in the process according to authority. Because there's two, the main principle of activities has two parts. One should always remember Krishna. And one should never forget Krishna. So what makes us forget Krishna? Material attraction. And what makes us remember Krishna? That's hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So we must perform those activities that make us forget the material world and those activities that make us remember Krishna. Then it's complete. Otherwise, we see the Mayavadis take one and forget the other, and the Sahajiyas take the other and forget this one. Does that make sense?
Someone say that the process of never forgetting Krishna always remembering Krishna is the same as the process of purity and the process of achieving spiritual taste.
Some will say the process of remembering Krishna and the process of never forgetting Krishna are the same. It is the same. But the problem is we will not always follow the process. Right? So by always chanting the Lord's glories, we are not always engaged. So therefore, when we're not chanting, then washing a few pots or other things comes in. You know, very helpful.
Если мы помним, если это плохо, то это поможет.
means if you remove the things that make you forget Krishna, then a touch with Krishna one will remember. But still that touch should be there. We only emphasize this separation between the two so the devotees are careful to do both. Otherwise you get those who feel that just by chanting and reading that that's enough. And practical service they consider as something lower. And then you get others who do a lot of work and they just get their rounds done and generally never read. And they feel that's enough. But one has to do both. Means one has to do the service, and one has to, you know, one has to chant one's rounds with the idea that this is Krishna and one is associating with Krishna. Right? And one should take part in programs like hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and attending the Mangalarti. You know, in the preaching program, those things that give the taste. So one should understand the importance of both. Though in Krishna consciousness, it's so designed that each one contains the other. So if one understands the process, one gives the other. Process, one will get both. Right? If one understands, then one will hear and chant so much, but then he understands the value, he wants to give it to others. Right? And one who does so much practical service, then they become purified and they develop a taste for this hearing and chanting. So if done properly, because it's a balanced system, it will balance out. If we're trying to chant, though we're not chanting so perfectly, then gradually we'll become purified. Means as long as we're pronouncing the mantra properly. Right? And we understand that this mantra is Krishna. And we are his servant. And we are his servant. Right? And we avoid the 10 offenses. Right? Then things should progress very nicely. It will happen with time. Right? It means a pot takes some time to wash.
electricity, we'll be able to control the white ones and white ones in here.
If we're trying to do that, those activities to please Krishna, then we are remembering Krishna.
Yes, if we want to do some activities, we have to respond to Krishna.
Though our main emphasis may be on the service, but because it's for Krishna, then it is connected. So it's just so that same practice becomes, you know, being able to remember Krishna, you know, just directly. Right, through the process of remembering the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, and associates. So the difficulty is not being absorbed in the service for Krishna. The difficulty is, while we're doing our service, neither are we thinking of the service nor are we thinking of Krishna. We're thinking of something else. So that is the difficulty. So if we can get where we are concentrating on the service, when we are, if we can come to the platform of remembering our service or absorption in the service, right, then it's not long until then we can always remember Krishna while we are doing this. Some say that because ISKCON is so absorbed in sadhana and does not absorb themselves in the rasika literatures, therefore devotees go away from Krishna consciousness. See, if the heart is not pure, one cannot appreciate the rasika literatures anyway. You understand? So the whole point is that it's a matter of how one does, because the activities of sadhana include the remembrance of the Lord. And the Krishna book is a rasik literature. Right? It's like this, you know, to give a, you know, simple example. Right, it's natural that a girl to become attracted to a boy must, you know, read a huge volume of literature about the boy, see, so many watch the boy 24 hours a day, and then after a long time, she becomes attracted, right? Or she just sees the guy once, and that's it. She thinks about him 24 hours a day. So which is it? The first, after volumes and volumes of study and everything, no, it's just one sight. One movement, one word, that's all. And the mind over and over and over and over again. So the Krishna book has so much. But if there's no attraction, then that means you read a volume, okay, maybe you get something. Vidura asked about Krishna. He just said Krishna. Uddhava is an ecstasy. So that's the standard. So sadhana must be there to purify you to get to that platform. And one must remember those who talk about Rasika literatures. How did they find out? What did they do before that time? They were absorbed in sadhana. And who gave that sadhana? Srila Prabhupada. Who picked them up from the gutters of the Western countries as dope addicts, sex mongers, mayavadis, complete rascals? Right? Anyone who's discussing Rasik literature? No. Anyone who's discussing Rasik literature, who are traveling and preaching, are they doing it with their own Bengali brahmacharis? Or are they doing it with Prabhupada's disciples, who are trained in the sadhana and have been purified? So it's very obvious to see that the process works that Prabhupada gave. Just one has to maintain the proper chastity and faith that the acharya is giving everything. Right. The father, conceives and raises and nourishes and protects you from so many difficulties. Right. Educates this, that. Feeds you properly, you get nourished and grow healthily. And then some other relative then comes along and gives you a candy bar. And because you like the candy bar, you go off with them and forget your father. So there must be some loyalty. Otherwise, if there's no loyalty, the eternal residence of the spiritual realm will not accept you. It's just a figment of their imagination that they are going to act on that platform.
Весь наш прогресс на этом пути.
Because the eternal associates are people. And they have to like you. Right? Rasika Bhakti is not Karma Mimamsa. I read the book, I thought of Krishna, they have to accept me. You read the book, you thought of Krishna, but they don't like the way you did it. They don't accept you. As the Lord is independent, they are independent. And if they don't see chastity, they don't accept. You cannot force your way into the Lord's pastimes. So no one says that it's not. This is Rasik literature, Bhagavatam. Means the other literatures are just details explaining Bhagavatam. So if one can't derive the Rasik aspect from Bhagavatam, how can actually one derive it from there? The person can't drive a Polsky Fiat, but he says that he gets great ecstasy from driving around in a Ferrari. Doesn't happen. Right. They can't boil water without burning it, and then they're going to cook some fabulous preparation. Right. The kid can't even walk, he's still crawling, but he's going to, you know, set Olympic records in the decathlon. Sorry. Yes, the time has come. So, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prima Nandini.
Bhakti Vinod Maharaj ki.